What is a girl like you doing with a guy like me?
Working through my self-esteem issues before planning my escape.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That's So Random, a random movie podcast. I'm Heath Lambert.
I'm Carrie Claypool Lambert.
You always introduce yourself anyway, so I figured I would just let you this time.
You pause, I do it.
I try to power through, but you're always Johnny on the spot with the...
Yeah, I'm a pro now.
And this episode's movie is Trash Fire from 2016. What did you think?
Because I know you had watched it once before.
Yeah, I always watch everything twice. So I watch it when I first sort of know that that's my next movie, and then I watch it again and take notes.
So he asked me to watch it. I didn't really ask any questions. I didn't look it up or anything. And then when it started, I thought, I haven't asked him anything about this movie, really. So I said, is this a good movie? Because some of the movies we've watched for this podcast are not good movies. And I thought it was a good movie. You said, yeah, there were parts where I thought I was losing interest and then it would pull me back in. I thought it was really good.
Not losing interest, losing me as in, I don't like where any of this is going.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But on second watch, I actually liked it a lot more. I think this is a pretty good movie.
It is. The acting isn't horrible.
Quite good, in fact, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Not once was I, oh my gosh, why am I watching this? The way it ended, I haven't had enough time because we literally just watched it and then started recording this. But the way it ended, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I have to think about it more.
Well, we'll get there. But yeah, I think at the very least, it keeps your interest because you're always like, where is this going? What is going to happen next?
Yeah.
Because the first third is you're just watching this like wildly toxic relationship and you're like,
oh, they should.
I hate him so much.
Yeah, they're the last two people who should be having a baby.
And then it kind of shifts gears and becomes this kind of Southern Gothic, not quite horror movie, but.
I'm really glad, though, that they took the time to build those two characters before they went to the grandmother's house. Because I think if they had just rushed through that whole development of their relationship and letting us kind of in on everything that was going on, it wouldn't have been anywhere near as good.
No, and I think that the magic trick that this movie manages to pull off is... as they're heading to grandmother's house, you're still like, this is the worst person I've ever seen in my life. She needs to not be anywhere near this man, whether they're having a baby or not.
Yeah.
And I hate him and I hope horrible things happen to him.
Yeah, he's
horrible. And by the time you get to the end and horrible things happen to him, you actually feel kind of bad about it. Like, uh-huh. You feel kind of sad, which is, that's crazy because I could not wait for him to die. So the magic trick of this movie is, somehow shifting it just enough where you're like, okay, he might somewhere inside be a decent human being after all.
But the reason he was such a shitty human is because his grandmother, and we'll get to this, but his grandmother tricked him into believing he had done something he did not do. And that kind of became his defining characteristic that he held on to, that he was just a horrible person, so he acted as a horrible person.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot to be said for, you know, past trauma and, you know, nature versus nurture and all that. But at some point, you have to draw a line and go, it sucks what happened to you, but that doesn't give you license to be...
the worst
person. An unfettered twat to every single person around you.
Yeah.
Which he is.
He is. Oh, he's horrible.
So, yeah, I don't know. That'll only get you so far with me. But because she also had an uber religious upbringing.
Yeah.
You can tell from her stupid fucking brother.
Yep.
But she seems, other than her, whatever it is that's driving her to stay with this terrible man... it seems like a fairly well-adjusted, you know, And if she weren't in a relationship with this guy, would probably be thriving. And like,
probably.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
That's an overall kind of consensus.
I still have so much going through my head. You know? Like, how come he couldn't get the chance to know? Like, what would have happened to him as a human if he knew that the grandma was responsible for the tragedy and not him? And what about that awful preacher? Like, he was willing to let her go murder people in order to protect his reputation. Christians.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
They claim to be Christians.
Yeah, kind of the real tragedy at the end of this movie is that everything that happens and no one ever learns the truth.
Nope.
Owen doesn't, Pearl doesn't. Grandma's the only one, well, I guess the pastor, but
yeah.
Grandma takes to her grave the fact that, yeah, she started this fire and not him.
Yeah.
And none of them ever learn
the
truth.
So feel for Isabella?
Isabel.
Isabel, because her baby daddy just got murdered. She saw...
Okay, we're way at the end now.
but I feel so bad for her. This is just where my brain is going right now.
Sure.
Because I'm thinking of it and all these new things are popping into my brain. So, because what is her brother going to say to her now? Well, this is what happens when you sin, when you have sex before you're married. This is God punishing you. And what is that going to do to her now? Is she going to be like, no, it's not, go away? Or is she going to feel compelled to return to that uber religious way and try and repent? Like, what's it? I would really love to know that second story.
I
hadn't even
thought of that. I was more thinking about after we go to credits. Does she kill Pearl or not?
I really was thinking she was going to do something when she grabbed her hair with her hand. I was like expecting her to just mama bear strength. This evil woman is caressing my belly.
Well, but she's not an evil woman, though.
She's not. But she just murdered.
It's all, there's very complicated, I know, it's so complicated feelings about all these characters. But because she told Grandma she would kill her, and I mm-hmm. believe her,
mm-hmm.
but Grandma's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she feels such sympathy and empathy for Pearl,
mm-hmm.
knowing what she went through,
mm-hmm.
that I think as much as she would maybe want to out of revenge, she knows that, like, this isn't even, like, her fault either.
But
like,
why did Pearl do that? I can see her killing the grandma. But then why did she turn the gun?
I don't. She really hates fighting. And in her mind, Owen is the one who not only is responsible for the fire that disfigured her.
True.
But he then left her there with Grandma, who is not a place you want to be.
No.
I suspect we don't actually say, God, we're all over the place. We're talking about the end before we talk about anything else, but I guess it's fresh in our minds.
It's just because it's sticking in my brain and... Okay, let's go back to the
spoilers.
But you listen to this podcast, there's going to be spoilers.
It's not a stretch to think, because we do know that the pastor at one point molested
the mother.
Owen and Pearl's mother.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy stretch to think that he has also been molesting Pearl.
Yeah. Because he's always there
visiting. Mm-hmm. Like, and when we first see him, the grandma's like, no, you're not spending the night. So your first thought is, oh, the two of them are hooking up. And maybe they are. But I don't know. It could be either or both.
Yeah.
Who knows with this whacked out.
Sex crazed. They're all sex crazed.
Listen, maybe I'm the pervert here. But I thought, because so much of this is, again, I really like the movie, but especially like a lot of the dialogue between Owen and Isabel.
So good.
To start with is good, but it's also kind of edgelord shit. You know, it's kind of like, what's the nastiest thing I could say in this moment?
Yeah.
I was honestly kind of expecting that the end of this movie would be some kind of weird three-way between Owen, Isabel, and the sister.
Really?
Because they're in separate rooms the whole time, and then last night they're finally in the room together, and she keeps creeping around the house. I thought she was going to, like, creep into bed with them. Because that's edge, like, what's the edgiest thing I could do?
Yeah.
You know?
Icky, though.
How could I really stick it to the audience? And they, I mean, he finds a different way to do that, but.
Right.
That's kind of where my head went. Maybe I'm the one who's fucked up. But it's written and directed by a guy named Richard Bates Jr. He also did a movie called Suburban Gothic that Kat Dennings is in that I remember thinking was fine. And he did a movie called Excision that I think I did for last year's October Spooktacular or maybe the year before, which was another kind of fuck. It was kind of a fucked up pseudo horror movie that I remember thinking was okay. Without rewatching those, this is probably my favorite of the three, I would guess. Especially in second watch, this really grew on me a lot. Where the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, I don't know about this. And then it would pull me back in, and then I'd kind of start to. But yeah, the second time, knowing everything coming into it and knowing where it's going, I enjoyed it more this time.
Huh, maybe I'll have to watch it a second time.
Maybe. First thing I noticed right away is the Orion Pictures logo up front. Like, what year is this? Is this 1991? Like, I haven't seen an Orion Pictures logo in a long, long time. It makes me think of, like, God, like Ernest Goes to Camp or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, had the Orion logo in front of it, I think. I thought they just went away, but apparently they're still around.
Apparently. What was it, 2016?
2016 this came out, yeah. So.
8 years.
Yeah, our two main characters are Owen, who's played by Adrian Grenier, who I had forgotten wasn't just the Entourage guy. I think now he's the Entourage guy. Huh. But I forgot that, like, even before that, he was in that, what was the name of it? The one time they tried to make Melissa Joan Hart a movie star, it was him, the two of them were the leads in, like, a teen romantic comedy thing. And he was like, he already had kind of a career even before Entourage, and I forget that because he was just so synonymous with Entourage. Very handsome fellow.
Oh, yeah. Very handsome fellow. And then he's such a jerk, and awful, ugly things coming out of that face. Just a little bit of.
And I appreciate, I haven't seen much else of his sort of post Entourage career. Entourage is not a show I enjoy, or I've seen a lot of it, but it was almost hate watching. Like, it was not a show that I really enjoyed. But it's an interesting, especially like in here, so many sort of pretty boys and so many, especially maybe it's just because of his character in Entourage, but I'd be interested to see some of his other roles, because this is, I wouldn't say this is a thankless role. It's a pretty meaty, you know, but the willingness to play someone this terrible.
Yeah.
And also, it also is like, bad and bad and, like, you know, to put that on yourself as an act, you know, that's, you're not going to see, like, Vin Diesel and The Rock won't even, like, can't even be on set together because they, who's taller? Like, Vin Diesel has it, like, in his contracts that no one can be taller than me when he's not that tall. So he has to stand on apple boxes and shit. And they both have it in their contracts that, like, they cannot lose a fight in a movie. So when they fight in a movie, it's always a tie. Like, it's so dumb. Like, this ego, you know, and then you have someone like Adrian Grenier who's willing to, and I think Brad Pitt was kind of the same. Brad Pitt early on was like, ugly me up. Put me in 12 Monkeys with the cock eye and, like, you know, I don't want to just be a pretty boy, you know. So I appreciate him being willing to play this really
He's despicable.
Faulty character who's, like, you know, not. And Isabelle is played by Angela Trimber, who's been in some stuff here and there. She's in that Final Girls movie, which I like a lot. She was on that weird last season of Search Party.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the people at the Institute or whatever that wore the jumpsuits
Before
the zombie invasions. That show is... if you haven't seen Search Party...
So good.
It's good, but I've never seen a show so dramatically different where it starts to where it ends up, because it starts as this little, the first two seasons are like, oh, this girl is missing and we're gonna like, go find her and stuff. And the end of the show is literally a zombie apocalypse. Like, it's so, so strange, the transformation that show goes through.
But it's so enjoyable to watch.
But it's also, it's funny and good.
So fun.
But it's just a wild You would never in a million years guess when you start that show where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
But I know her. I actually know her name the best from, because she was on the Pistol Shrimps basketball team. And I listened to the Pistol Shrimps radio podcast with Matt Gourley and Mark McConville, where they don't know anything about basketball, and they are commentating on this Women's League in LA basketball game. It's a very, very funny podcast. So I heard her name a lot because she was on that team. They're always like, oh, Angela Trimber, 3 points, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of knew her best from that, weirdly, not even seeing her, just hearing her name a lot. She's really good in this. I would say she's the standout in this.
She is. Oh, she's phenomenal.
Yeah. Owen is just a grade A shit to his psychiatrist, to every single person he encounters, his girlfriend of 3 years, her brother, her friends, like just every single person
he's a trash
person. Is going to go out of his way to say rude shit to.
The worst things he could think of.
He also is bulimic. Care.
Yeah, that's
which doesn't come to a whole lot, but it's, I don't, that probably has, it's a, she says it's a control thing. It probably has something to do with his trauma as well. Yeah. And, but it doesn't come, I mean, it doesn't, you could take that out of the movie and it wouldn't really change anything.
That's true.
But he also has seizures, some kind of
epilepsy.
Yeah, some sort of epilepsy.
Some of those seizures, they were very accurately depicted and looked really awful.
Who knows? And those could that even be a side effect of bulimia, couldn't it?
I have no idea.
Seizures like that? But
you'd think maybe.
And he also has these weird sort of flashback sort of things of people screaming and in flames and fire, and you're like, and you don't know what's going on with that for a while. But and panic attacks, and like he's a mess. He's the titular trash fire. Like, he's a mess in every way. And then on top of that, but you can't even, like, you see him having a seizure and you're like, good, fuck that guy. Like, because he's such a piece of shit.
Well, and then the beginning when she has him locked out of the apartment, and then he has a seizure in the hall, and then she brings him in and feels bad for him, and I just want to scream at her, why are you doing that? Like, if she had left him in the hall, I would have been like, cool, good for her. But she goes and she leans him on his side so he doesn't choke on his saliva. I mean,
you don't want him to die, necessarily.
No, you don't want him to die, but...
Because that's the whole thing, is even though he is such a shit to her all the time, and then there's times she seems like, oh, she's shitty too, but she's just kind of reflecting back on him, what he's putting out.
Yeah.
And keeping up with his nastiness and not being a doormat. But, you know, she does... Like she says, like, you can't always help who you fall in love with. I mean, and look, you shouldn't.
You
should not be.
Could make better choices.
Yeah, you should not be in abusive relationships, no matter how much you love someone.
Exactly.
But I mean, they're not. It's not abusive. Like, he's never, like, physically. He's not physically abusive to her, but he's certainly verbally abusive and mentally abusive. You know. And that's not good, no matter how much you love somebody. But I guess women do that all the time.
I know. I think, too, the fact that she then is, like, pregnant and she wants him to go reconcile with his family. Like, she thinks that's going to be some great journey that's going to help him be a nice person. That was kind of where I thought she was going with that. It was weird.
Yeah, we meet her super religious brother, Caleb, who's played by Matthew Gray Gubler, who most people would know from Criminal Minds. He's also in all of this guy's movies, this Richard Bates Jr. He's in Excision. He's like the star of Suburban Gothic. He's the star of, he has a new one called, is it King Knight or Night King? I haven't watched it yet, but it looks strange. But yeah, so he's this guy's kind of guy. But yeah, he's a super annoying, super religious guy who wants to pray when they meet at lunch, and like, which sucks, but you don't have to act the way Owen acts about it. Like, you can just kind of sort of smile and nod and go, okay, say your grace, whatever. But he's flipping him the bird and like saying a prayer to Satan and like just doing everything he can to rub people the wrong way 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to agree with somebody, but if it's important for them to say their grace, you just... be quiet, maybe throw him a look. You know, you don't need to go beyond that. You don't need to be a jerk.
Yeah, but he's, you know, pressuring them to, like, get married or whatever. And but there's something about he has, like, two divorces, two failed marriages or something. So,
yeah.
It's very much a, you know, shining a spotlight on, you know, behind the veneer of Christianity, there's all this fucked up shit always.
Yep.
Yeah, so not only is Owen a giant asshole, he's also just, maybe he hasn't always been, but at this point in their relationship, he's just, he's bad in bed. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a sex scene where he's going to town and she is, could not be more bored.
Well, there was one line where she says something about, well, I'm dry. And he goes, you're always dry. And she's like, and that's your fault. I don't remember exactly what the words were, but that was what she was insinuating.
Well, she's also like, what's going on? What's taking you so long? And he's like, it's been 30 seconds. She's like, yeah, what's taking you so long? A lot of the dialogue is, as like mean as it is pretty funny.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
This is a dark comedy, to be sure.
For sure.
It doesn't feel like it in the last couple minutes, but no. There's a lot of, even a lot of grandma's awfulness is funny in its way.
Yeah.
And there's more of, yeah, they go out with her friends and he's shitty to them too. And
she's horrible.
And she's about, she keeps saying like she's on her last straw, but she keeps fucking putting up with it. You know, like how much can you take as he gets worse and worse?
Right.
And then there's kind of a great scene where it's another sex scene and they're having sex. And then unbeknownst to her, he starts having a seizure.
Yeah. Oh.
In the midst of them having sex. But it's something different. So she's like, ooh, what's this?
And
this
she almost good. Looks turned on by it for a second.
Because he's doing something different. Like, it's almost like maybe he's like vibrate, whatever it is. But like, she's like, ooh, this is different. I don't mind this. And then he drools in her face. Yeah. And she realizes that, oh no, this is horrible and dramatic.
And she pushes him.
But I've never seen something like that before. But it's just it's interesting, the idea of, like, I don't know. I think it's funny that that's the first good sex he's delivered in the middle of a seizure.
He's not even conscious for it.
He's just moving a different way than usual.
Yep.
It's pretty funny.
It was pretty funny.
So he's in the hospital from that. Caleb, the brother, comes to visit again. And this is the night. This night is the straw that broke the camel's back. Because not only did that happen, and they're at the hospital, and Caleb, the super religious brother, has apparently just assumed that even though they've been living together for 3 years, that they, like, have not been having sex, because he's an idiot, I guess. But Owen, in as crass a way as he possibly can, drops the bomb that, like, yeah, I had a seizure in the middle of us fucking. The brother's like, you what now? And the sister's trying to be like, come on, man, like, we've been together 3 years, you've got to know. And he, like, disowns her and is like,
yeah,
you guys should get tested. You guys should, for the safety of the community.
I know.
And you can't see my kid anymore.
Yeah, because, like, you're a bad influence. And, oh, that was awful. How awful.
Yeah, awful for her that she's surrounded by shitty people. Like, I know. Everyone in her life is bad.
I'm just wondering if Owen is a better, doesn't look quite so bad because of the men she's been around, I wonder. You know, she's got this awful brother.
Or could even be because she obviously comes from such a super religious background. Maybe there's an extra level of attraction to Owen because he's so not that. Like, he's right. So like, ooh, a bad, not the, you know, ooh, the bad boy, I love the bad, but he's...
He's the complete he's opposite evil. Of religious.
He's the devil. You can't be less Christian than him. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny.
But, yeah, and he also makes sure to tell her brother, like, she wasn't a virgin when we met either. Like,
he was.
And he, so he blows up. So now she's mad at both of them. He's alienated her from her family.
Yeah.
And he can't even, like, own it. And he's certainly not going to say sorry, but no, he can't even own it. And he's like, good, you don't, like, you really want to see your niece anyway, that little shit? Like, who cares? Like, ooh. And she's like, I'm supposed to be her godmother. And he launches into a tirade when they get home about, like, because she's like, what if I wanted to have kids one day? And he's like, great, go right ahead. It's your body, but leave me the fuck out of it. Like, yeah. You know, and goes on this tirade about how, like, the best case scenario if you have kids is, like, that they grow into a teenager who hates your guts. Like, that's best case scenario. And then she drops the bomb on him that she is pregnant.
Yeah.
And to say he doesn't react well, I mean, it's him, so of course he reacts. She's like, don't even worry about it. I'm going to get an abortion. And he's like, of course you are. What is it, like $400? We'll split it. And she slaps him in the face and runs sobbing to her room. And he has to sleep on the couch. Like, this is the straw that broke. This is the night that, like, they're fucking done.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't kick him out or anything. But, like, when we wake up in the morning, like, we're done. Like,
yep.
You know, she cries herself to sleep. Gets up in the morning. He's already gone. Goes to work. And I don't know that this should be enough. Because he's already at her work. He's at her desk. He has a giant funeral spray.
Oh, that was
instead of like a bouquet of flowers.
This was not even a romantic thing. It was icky.
In his weird way, she knows him well enough to know that in his weird way, this is like the most romantic thing he could do. Because what he did was he stayed up all night writing her obituary, and it's a very sweet obituary about
it. That part was sweet.
Now, that's not enough, I don't feel, to forgive this man for the last week that you've dealt with him.
Funeral spray?
It's to go with the obituary thing. Like, he thinks he's being clever. But it works. It works enough that, like, they're, you know, back together that night. Things are still tense, and they're having dinner. And he's like, I don't know, we could have this kid. And she's like, yeah, no. Like, you can't even be in, like, a relationship the right way. How are you going to be a father? And he's like, I think I'd be a great father. And she's like, whatever. And he's like, I don't know, like, do you even want? And she's like,
I don't remember. I didn't write.
She says, I do want to have a family one day. I just don't want to have one with you. Mm-hmm. Which is very hurtful, but very truthful. And it's probably what he needs to hear.
Yep.
And that's kind of enough to bring him. That's kind of the turning point for him. And again, going forward, is any of this enough? I don't know. But they're laying in bed that night. She's trying to sleep. And he wakes her up and he's like, no, we should do this. Like, I want to have this baby with you.
He's like having awful dreams, too, where she's burning up.
Yeah, there was a scene earlier where like their smoke detector is beeping because the battery's low, and he's like, he has a panic attack about it because he still has fire-based trauma.
Yeah,
but yeah, and he convinces her that, like, no, you know, I can do this, I can change, you know. Which on one hand you'd be like, how many chances are you going to give this man to change? But I get the feeling he's probably never promised to change before. He's probably never apologized before. He's probably just done his thing, and she's put up with it. This is, so maybe this being the first time he's ever done it is enough to make her go, oh shit, something's different. Maybe. But she does make him, she said, well, if we're going to be a family, we have to reconcile with our family. So the first thing you're going to do is call my brother and apologize for the shit you did at the hospital. And he's like, absolutely no problem. And he puts up no fight with that at all. And would think, and you're like, oh wow, he really is like trying for this. And then she's like, and we have to go to your grandma's and see your grandma and sister, and you can reconcile with them. And he's like, oh no, I don't know about that. You don't know what you're asking me to do.
Yeah. She convinces him, though.
I mean, he was right. They should not have gone there.
He was 110% right.
But his willingness to do that is what brings her around to, like, okay, maybe he actually is. And you do see a change in him. He's not an asshole the rest of the, like, whatever needed to click in his head has clicked, and he really does seem to be a changed man, to the point that as much as you have hated him this entire movie, by the end you're like, oh, poor fucker. Like, you know?
Right?
You're like, I really wanted those kids to work out. Like, an hour ago I wanted her to be as far away from him as possible.
I was thinking he's going to go through this, and then he's actually going to put effort in at therapy and actually make change. Like, humans can change. They really can. And I thought that that's what this movie would be about, but no.
On the car ride there, he finally tells her, because he had told her, like, my parents died in a fire. That's kind of all she knew. They've been together 3 years, and that's all he's said about it. But she gets him to tell her the whole story, which is that, like, his parents didn't get along, but they only stayed together because of Christianity. Like, because you don't get divorced. But his mom was, like, sleeping around with a bunch of people.
She liked sex.
And he had installed their new heater or whatever.
Like, was it propane or something?
Propane-powered water heater or whatever.
Yeah, something he
installed. He had installed it incorrectly or something. I mean, he was a teenager.
A teenager, yeah.
And something went wrong and the house burned down. His parents burnt alive and his sister Pearl had third-degree burns over 80% of her body. And made it, and so they got shipped off to their grandma, who was terrible. And they sort of had a plan to him and Pearl were going to, like, run away together, but due to her medical condition, he was scared enough or smart enough to know that, like, I can't take care of this child. I'm a teenager, you know? And so he left on his own and left her there on the side of the road, which is shitty, but
really
he's a teenager. I get it. Like, that's a horrible thing to even have to think about. So, which, yeah, Isabel has not heard this story until just now. And it's like, oh, shit, now what am I, like, what are we rolling into here? Right. This is not, I thought they just didn't get along or something. Like, this is a whole new level of whatever, but we're on the way, we're committed, so let's do this. And we meet Grandma, who is played by, I'm probably not going to say this correctly, Fionnula, I think that's, or Fionnula, and then is it Finnegan? I think it's Fionnula Finnegan. She's in a lot of, unsurprisingly, she's in a lot of Irish film. But she was in Waking the Divine.
She's in a lot of stuff. I recognize her.
Yeah, she's very recognizable. She was Jack's mom on Lost. But yeah, she's pretty good. A little over the top. She's got it cranked up a little bit. She's going pretty kind of camp in this, but compared to everyone else, but it's okay. It works. And so they get there at night, and the pastor is like in the house with Grandma and saying something. Grandma's like, no, you're not spending the night. So right off the bat, you're like, okay, something's going on here.
Yeah, I thought, oh, maybe Grandma likes sex too.
And the grandma pastor leaves, and you immediately, it takes no time at all, no mask, immediately you see where he got this from. Because as much as you hate him for the first third of the movie, as horrible as a person as he is, Grandma is 1,000 times worse somehow.
Like, you hate her more, way more, and you didn't think you could hate a character more.
Every word out of her mouth is some condescending, hate-filled...
Just evil. Pure evil.
She's the worst.
So bad.
To the point that I kind of... The one... I guess... I mean, he is there to kind of... To see Pearl and stuff. But the amount that they put up with...
And how long they stay. I should have counted. How many nights did they stay?
Well, especially... Because there is one day where they're like, we're leaving tomorrow. And then they stay an extra day. And that's their downfall, I'm afraid. Yeah. But I have a real problem with the low degree to which Owen stands up to his ground. Like, he's not... Yeah. The shit that he hears her just flat out saying to his girlfriend...
Yeah.
Should be enough to get away a bigger reaction. Because he is sounding like, hey, don't be so hard on her. Like, no, it should be like, open your stupid mouth again, Grandma, and I'm going to break a chair over your head. Like,
yeah.
She's horrible.
She would have deserved it.
Like, so I don't know that he brings his A game quite enough in defending her. I mean, then she throws it right back. Like, right. She can defend herself, but I wouldn't let my grandmother talk to you like that if she were. She wouldn't have.
She wouldn't.
But
if she were. You would put a stop to it.
100%. Like, even if that means we have to leave and I don't get to talk to Pearl after all, like, I'm not going to stay. We're not going to stand here while my grandmother hurls abuse at you. Like, ridiculous. But Isabel's kind of, it seems like she hates it, but she's willing to put up with it because she really wants Pearl and Owen to have a chance to reconcile. We see that, Pearl locks herself in her room. Stop giving this girl mirrors, first off.
Yeah.
Because she's making like wind chimes and jewelry out of all the mirrors she's broken. Because she can't stand to look at herself from her burns. And just stop putting mirrors in her room. But maybe wouldn't put it past Grandma that she gets some kind of sick delight from like, oh, I put a new mirror in your room, honey. Like, knowing that it's going to fuck with her. Like,
yeah. And Grandma won't even let her eat with her at the table because she's so hideous.
Yeah, she says she eats in her room because it turned my stomach. I can't eat my food to have to look at her at the table. Like, oof.
That poor kid.
Yeah, you really do come to understand. Like, you sympathize the most with Pearl. Mm-hmm. Even though she, goes off the deep end too. But when also there's a thing where Pearl was, or probably it hasn't had a chance to find out for sure, but is probably a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because when they first arrive, she kind of sneaks out on the porch and is looking in the window and rubbing one out to Isabel. Yeah. Like, just...
And Isabel's not even doing
it. Not she's, even doing anything. This is just the first beautiful woman she's ever seen.
She's, like, sitting on the bed, getting up and putting her stuff away. There's, like, she's not getting undressed. So it was kind of odd.
And she does tell a story that at one point, like, she got in trouble when she was younger. Like, Grandma caught her kissing some friend of hers.
when they were sort of much, I mean, she would have been around 10, 11, maybe something. That was before the fire. But we get to see, yeah, Grandma makes them sleep in separate rooms because they're not married, which is some goofy shit I've also experienced. I have run across that in real life. So that is a thing, ludicrous as it is. But we get to see Pearl's nightly ritual, which appears to be getting a shotgun out of the closet, standing over Grandma's bed and pointing it at her, and then chickening out.
Yeah.
Like, every night she's like, tonight's the night I blow Grandma's head off while she's sleeping. And then she just puts the shotgun back and goes back to bed.
Yeah. So sad. Can you imagine if she'd just done it?
I would have saved
everybody a lot of heartache.
Well, and you kind of wonder later on if Grandma also has a nightly ritual where she does the same thing with that pistol.
Yeah.
Because there's, or if that's just something she decides on at the end, or if that's also a thing she does every night, is stand over Pearl's bed and point a pistol at her and decide to not kill her today. But, and she also leaves some earrings on Isabel's nightstand, which Isabel assumes is from the grandma as like a peace offering, and Grandma just laughs in her face at the very notion that I would give you a gift.
Yeah.
Especially these ugly mirror. So yeah, every step of the way, Grandma's just the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Isabel gets a chance to meet Pearl first. She has to put on a blindfold at Pearl's orders. I won't let you in until you, so she puts a blindfold on and they have a conversation.
One where they're standing very, very close to each other.
Yeah, I'm sure for Isabel this is all very, very creepy business. But she's doing her best because she wants Owen and Pearl to be able to
reconcile.
Yeah, yeah. She's asking Pearl, like, you know, please talk to Owen, and he came here to talk to you. Don't we see Grandma? Well, Grandma has some visions in which Owen and Isabel are like
in hell,
devils with weird eyes, and they're with their baby that's wrapped up in like a satanic like cape thing. And of course, Grandma's this saintly with like stigmata and everything with white light shining on her. So she's delusional. She's having religious delusion shit. And she decides this is a vision from God telling me to finish the job I, we'll find out, started years ago when she set the house on fire. Mm-hmm. Was hoping that Owen, in grief and self-loathing for being blamed for this fire, would kill himself. Yeah. And instead he ran away. Why she hasn't killed Pearl all these years is a question I have, I guess. But
yeah.
But this is the moment she decided they're all here in one place, because she now has found out that, I'm not sure quite what this is. For some reason, Grandma assumes that Owen was sterile. And I don't know why she would make that assumption, unless she did something to him. I don't know.
That's weird. I didn't catch that.
Because Angela, or Angela, that's the actress's name, Isabel and Grandma, because Isabel's like, why do you hate me so much? And Grandma's like, you remind me of my daughter. She was a whore too. Like,
yeah.
You know? And she's like, well, I'm pregnant and I'm having, you know, and she, Grandma is so taken aback by that and shocked. And she's like, are you sure? Like, well, how do we know it's his? And she's like, because we've been together 3 years, I haven't slept with anybody else. And also, Owen had a girlfriend in college and they had an abortion. And Grandma's like, that should not be possible. He's not supposed to be able to have kids. But we never hear anything more about that. So I don't know why she thought that.
Huh.
But now knowing that, like, oh no, this evil will spread, I've got to shut this down now while everyone is here. She empties out his seizure medication and puts sugar in it and just turns them into placebos.
Yeah.
So that they're not going to be working anymore. And she goes to visit the pastor, and here's where she kind of info dumps for our benefit that she's the one who started the fire. She wanted to kill them all. He got away.
And it was because God told her to.
Yeah. And she hasn't heard the voices in a long time, but now she is again. And she's doing God's good work, and he should be happy about it. And the pastor is trying to talk her out of this. Like, you're not talking to God. That's crazy. You're delusional. Because she's like, I'm gonna get them all now while they're here. I'm doing God's good work.
He says he's going to contact the authorities.
And she says, no, you're not, because I know, you know, or I'll tell them about what you're doing with my daughter when she was 15. And he shuts right up.
He says nothing to protect his own reputation.
Mm-hmm. And on her way out the door, she grabs his pet rattlesnake that he has in a terrarium. Pet snakes, I get. A rattlesnake? No, sir.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's asking for it. I wonder, is it one of those churches where they are snake handlers?
Oh, shit. It probably is.
I bet you that's what it is. I just now thought of that.
Yeah, we don't see that, but that's a good call.
I bet that's why he
has. That's the only reason I can think of to have a rattlesnake as a pet.
But yeah.
She takes it home, puts it in the toilet that Isabel will be using. And there's a tense sort of scene where Owen is gone. He has gone back to the property where the house used to be. Now there's like a basketball court the kids are playing on or something. Yeah, it's like an empty lot. It's kind of a cool scene because the kids are like, hey, we come here sometimes with flashlights at night like to see ghosts. And he's like, well, if you see any, tell him Owen said he's sorry. Like, so he's like finding, making peace with things. He's finding his zen, coming to terms. But while he is gone, yeah, there's a very tense, this rattlesnake is in the toilet that Isabel is sitting on.
And she keeps thinking she's hearing something, but...
Yeah, you can't be sure, and you certainly would not think there must be a rattlesnake in the
toilet. However, I always look in the toilet before I sit on it. Because sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's just because we had a bunch of kids, and very often they don't flush. And there's no way that I'm going to sit on a toilet, you know, that it hasn't been flushed. So,
but I mean, she knows she's the only one who's been using that toilet because it's in the room attached to the room she's staying in.
So. That's true.
But yeah, so she narrowly escapes that. She doesn't get bit.
She hears
it. She's screaming. Purr runs up there, grabs the snake out of the toilet, rips its head off.
Well, she had a knife in her hand because in her room she really is like playing with a knife. Oh, was it? That's what
it was? Okay. I thought she just pulled it off with her hands. No, because
she like was playing with a knife in her room before it happened. And so I'm pretty sure she like had the knife in her hand and did that.
And then she runs and like throws this decapitated snake at grandma and is like, grandma, don't, like, bad grandma.
Uh-huh. You're so naughty.
And grandma's yelling at her like, oh, you wicked child, you've ruined all my play, you know. Owen comes home just in time to see all this and is like, come here. We're leaving tomorrow. Like, we're getting the fuck out of here. This is too much.
They should have left that night.
Yeah, I would 100%. Have left that night. But again, why? I don't know why you're doing stuff for this grandma. I suppose it's for the benefit of everyone, but grandma's like, oh, snake must have come in through the pipes. Go under the house and like find the hole in the pipe and patch it with this duct tape. And he's like,
that's not good.
Yeah,
work.
Okay, fine, I'll help. He goes under the house
with an oil lamp.
With an oil lamp she's given him because she doesn't have a flashlight. And two things of note. One very obvious, one you kind of have to be paying close attention. Under the house, there is a human skeleton.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Like part of a human skeleton. So grandma has killed someone
at some point.
He did not see it.
How come I didn't notice that?
It's kind of in the foreground on the left as he's coming in and then back out again. It's kind of half buried in the dirt. But there's a human skeleton. Someone grandma has killed is buried under this house.
Who did she kill?
Who knows?
Who's grandpa? What happened to grandpa?
Well, that's a good question too, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe that's where grandpa is.
No idea. But yeah, there's a human skeleton under the house. And also while he is in there, since I guess the medication she's tampered with is not working fast enough, she is trying to, she pours lamp oil over the sort of the door to the crawl space,
but
she can't get the matches going. And that's the only thing, because he comes right back out like, I don't fucking see anything. Forget this. I tried. A little more time, she might have got it. But she was going to set the house on fire with him under it, Isabel in it, Pearl in it, like, do this again. But she's foiled by him coming out again too soon and her not being able to light these matches. And her disappointment of like, damn it, I'm foiled again.
Yep.
Is kind of comical.
It is. It is dark humor.
Without being like over the top. Owen finally gets Pearl to let him in to talk to her. And we finally get a good look at, because her face has been obscured all the time by either Isabel's head when she's standing behind her. Or like, we've never gotten to see. Now we get a decent look at, it's not as bad as you would think.
No.
Like half of her face is sort of, you know, kind of melty looking, but it's not, she's not like those burn visions you see where they like have no nose and no mouth or like no lips.
That's what
like,
I was expecting.
No eyelids. And they look like the Red Skull or something, you know, God bless. But yeah, it's not pleasant, but it's not vomit inducing. I think she could, and she's still, you can tell that like the half of her face you can see is she's a beautiful girl. I think she would actually do okay.
Yeah.
Out in the world, I think she could still get dates, no problem. Oh, yeah. I guess you're not seeing, because she said 80% of her body is certain humans, or who knows what's going on under that shift she's always wearing. But
yeah, she's always in a nightgown.
But I don't know. I think she could still get it if she wanted. But yeah, she tells him the story about the girl that she kissed and got in trouble for. And he's like, you know, I need you to forgive me. And she's like, I don't forgive you. You did this to me and then you left me here.
And I thought,
why did you do that?
For half a second that she was going to say, I don't forgive you because you didn't burn the house down. Grandma did. And that she knows all along, but she didn't say that.
No, she still thinks he did it. Uh-huh. And it's his fault. I mean, an accident, but still his fault.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie ends with everyone still thinking
it's Owen's fault.
And he's like, well, you don't have to, you can come with us. Like, fuck grandma. Uh-huh. Come with me and Isabel. Like, we'll find you a life out there.
We'll take care of you. I'll take care of you.
And she's like, no, this is where I belong now. And she just says that over and over again, and then screams at him to get out. So that didn't go very well. He crawls into bed with Isabel. He's like, fuck this separate room thing. Fuck grandma. We're leaving in the morning. Like, I tried with Pearl. It's not happening. Let's just, it's time to go. Enough of this. And yeah, if they'd have left one night sooner.
I know.
Because, yeah, we see grandma comes to Pearl's bed with a pistol and is pointing at her. And Pearl, who has only been pretending to sleep, sits up with a shotgun and points it at grandma. And grandma laughs like game recognized game. Like, oh, yeah. Good call. You should not trust me at night. And just leaves. And then a car pulls up in the driveway. And Owen goes to the window to see. And it's the pastor. He gets out of the car with a tire iron. Pastor has come here, presumably, like, this ends tonight. I can't let her kill these people. This crazy old lady. I've put up with her enough. Whatever happens to me is whatever happens, but enough's enough. He's going to go in and beat grandma to death with this tire iron. But then a lamp turns on upstairs, and he's like, oh, shit, and he runs away. Like, he loses his nerve so fast. Like, that, nice try, yeah. Buddy. Who knows what would happen if he'd had gone in there and actually tried something.
He's kind of an old man.
Because Owen probably would have tried to stop him from killing grandma.
Because he's, yeah.
But, yeah, so many opportunities for things to go differently, and they just...
They don't.
That's drama for you, right? The worst things have to happen. Yeah, and then so he's like, oh, I'm feeling like lightheaded. I didn't take my medicine. I should probably eat something. And Isabel's like, yeah, here's your medicine. I'll make you a sandwich. They go out in the kitchen, and he has another seizure. Of course, because he thinks he's been taking his medicine, but he hasn't. He's been taking sugar pills, thanks to grandma, mm-hmm. the last couple of days. And he's in the middle of a seizure. Grandma comes in, and Isabel's like, you know, help me with this. He's been taking medicine. I don't know what's going on. His medication's been working. She's like, oh, don't worry about that. He's going to hell, and you're going with him. Like, you and your evil spawn baby are going to join him in hell tonight, and points the pistol at him. Yeah, and Isabel's like, if you kill him, I will kill you myself. Like, uh-huh. It's a really good performance, and you can tell that, like, she's not fucking joking around. Like, nope. She will kill this old lady. Because she loves this man, and they're finally getting their shit together.
Yeah.
And then Pearl comes into the kitchen with the shotgun and is screaming at them, no more fighting, and explodes grandma.
Just.
You don't see it, but the amount of blood that flies from off screen. Kind of in the wrong direction, I feel, but whatever. Yeah. Blood coating Pearl and the wall behind her because she's just blown grandma in half.
Yep.
With the shotgun. And then you think, okay, cool, everything's fine. And then she points it at Owen and Isabel. And then we cut to the way that it's shot is she fires off frame and you can't tell who is she shot.
Right.
Did she shoot the floor? Did she shoot Owen? Did she shoot Isabel? Both of them.
It's only one shot.
Right. Well, but I think with that gun, you could kill two people with one shot if you did it right.
Yeah.
But then we get the reveal that, yeah, she has shot Owen and killed him. Because she does not forgive him and she can't stand the fighting. And now she has, in her wacky-do mind, she has Isabel to herself now.
Yeah. But she also, there was an earlier scene where Owen is telling Pearl, she's saying something about, I would have liked to have been a mother. I would have been really good to my babies. I'd have taken good care of babies. And he's like, you can still do that.
Yeah, and she's like, no way.
She's like,
nobody's,
no, I can't.
Nobody's touching this ugly mug.
When she's going over to Isabel, she goes to her belly and is like...
And she pulls her shirt up and is like smiling on her stomach and like lays her head on it like she's going to listen to the baby. And yeah, it looks like... And then it kind of just cuts the credits and you don't know. I mean, Isabel's obviously... sobbing and
but she grabs her hair with her hand.
Yeah, she grabs
and you're like, just take her hair head and you move.
Don't, but then it cuts away, so you don't know. Like, I was half expecting her to like reach over and pick the pistol up off the floor or something and put it up against Pearl's head, Reservoir Dogs, into the Reservoir Dogs style and shoot her. But no, we don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know. Because then the movie ends.
And you're on a very going, bleak note.
What?
But it's done an amazing thing because you're actually sitting there going, Owen's dead. When you could not wait for that fucking guy to die.
He was evil in the beginning. And at the end, you were like, wow.
And you really see the transformative power of change.
He's got a chance at, you know, regaining his humanity.
Yeah, and good. That's trash fire. And it's the more I think about it, the kind of the better it gets.
It's pretty solid. Good.
There's times where you're like, where is this going? And like I said, I expected it to go to even kind of weirder places. But I think it does.
It's pretty solid.
Good performances. Really good. As edgelordy as it is sometimes, the dialogue is pretty good. It's pretty funny in spots. You never know what's going to happen next, but you're always wanting to know what happens next. And that's a good movie. It's holding your attention.
Yep.
You're never bored.
Never.
So
it was a good movie.
I dig it. I think I originally gave it like 3 stars. I think I'd bump it up to like 3.5.
Yeah.
I think it's...
Out of how many stars?
5.
5.
Yeah. 10 would be bad.
Yep. I would definitely...
Yeah, I dug it.
3 to 4.
I dug it. I'm really, really curious. Shout out to, I don't know what the movie is yet, but my guest on next episode, the host of ADHD DVD, we're supposed to be doing this movie with me, and scheduling stuff got in the way, so they're going to do the next one. But I'm really, and I'm glad I got to do it with you.
I know.
But I would really be curious to see what they thought about it, because they have a segment called Did Haley Hate It? And I'm wondering if... this would be a Haley hates it or not, because
I don't know.
It grows on you. I don't know.
It does.
We'll see.
What's next?
Yeah, let's find out what's next. It's that time of the episode where I press the magic button to see what next episode's movie, chosen completely at random from everything streaming, will be. Pressing the magic button now. Next episode's movie is... okay. Huh. Hawk the Slayer from 1980. I'm not going to get into it now. I will save it for the episode. But this is a movie I have an odd history with. I can tell you off mic. Otherwise, I'll save the story for my other guests on the next episode. Yeah, Hawk the Slayer. It's an 80s or 1980 fantasy movie that was, in a lot of ways, the white whale of my life as far as movies go, of something that I thought about for decades and never watched, and still have not watched.
You've never seen it?
No. What an opportune.
Yeah.
I'll finally. I haven't thought about this movie in years and years, but there were years and years of my life where I did nothing but think about this movie that I had not seen, and I will explain why. Next episode, I'll tell you in a minute. We don't need to bother with socials and stuff.
Yeah, if you listen to this, find us.
You found it.
Yeah, you know where to find us.
It's all good. So that'll do it for this week, this episode. Watch Trash Fire. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And watch Hawk the Slayer. Who knows if it's good? I doubt it's good, but who knows? For next episode, and that'll do it for us. On behalf of Carrie and myself, bye.
Bye.